How's everybody feeling? You still awake out there? Hey, can we give some more round of applause to these lovely people? I'm honored to be up here with them. Truly, I mean that. And great job, Tia, selecting the speaker as well. And the reason, you know, I want to say that is because I was telling somebody earlier out front that I don't do events anymore unless they're solutions focused, because I can stay at home on my computer and talk about the problems if I want to. I want to come in person and connect with people who care about the direction the world is headed and actually want to do something about it. And I'm assuming that's why you guys are here. You guys here for solutions? Well, you just heard somebody working on solutions for travel, talking about solutions for food and for giving you an example of the reality of what COVID put through people through, having to make a choice over a 25-year career or force people to get vaccinated. And by the way, thank you for the courage to do what's right. That's everything. And to hear more about your story and, of course, everybody here who's a parent and, you know, the risks that come with kids and the fears of what's happening to the kids. And again, taking action and doing something about it. So thank you all for making that effort. That's what this is most important. I'm going to ask a couple questions to gauge where everybody's at, and that will determine which direction we take this talk. Oh, and I think I have a presentation too. Cool. How many people are familiar, and I mean like deeply or, you know, more than just heard the phrase, the Great Reset? Who's done some research on that? Okay. I assumed so. What about Agenda 2030? Technocracy? Maybe a few less people? Cool. All right, we'll spend less time on definitions and we'll just get right into it. Okay, so the first slide here, where do we go from here? That's what this is all about, right? How do we make a lasting impact for the generations to come? I think that's really the main question we should be asking ourselves at this point. I want to note that last year I came to speak at Next Steps and I was very grateful to do so. And the, you know, we did similar action items. What can we give people? Practical next steps. And at that talk, I was mentioning how COVID-1984 has showed us the, you know, the people, what I call the predator class, the powers that wish they were, they've revealed their hand. We've seen, at least in my perspective, the approach they're going to take. Travel restrictions, coercion at work, things like that, right? And at that time, I was outlining what I saw, five different attack vectors, five different areas where I believe we were under attack and will continue to be. Because, again, they've showed their hands. And I'm going to elaborate on some of that today, but I just want to refresh minds for those who might not have heard that. They are coming after your kids. They're coming after your money. They're coming after your food. They are also coming at us through our use of digital technology, and we're going to talk about that. Most people, no matter how holistic we think, are still using big tech phones, computers, emails, calendars, drives, et cetera, et cetera. It's a huge hole in our thinking. And then the final area I would say is the spiritual, mental, et cetera. The lockdowns weren't just meant to keep you in your homes. We saw an increase in suicides and alcohol, depression, right? It was a spiritual attack as well to keep us apart from each other, which is why it's so important that we're face to face. I've noticed more and more, I speak at a lot of events regularly. I host my own events, and I notice that there's still a good chunk of our friends, our community, that only exist on the internet. I've been asking this question recently through my videos and online. How many of you go to freedom events? And most people don't. So their experience of the movement or the awakening or whatever terms you want to give these various things going on is simply just through their screen. It's just through their computer. And I call this conspiratainment, infotainment, right? They're like, oh, what's Derek up to today? Okay, what's Mark up to? What's James up to? And they just go from channel to channel. Maybe they're not watching mainstream news, but they're still just cycling through, right? And getting all the problems, but what are they actually doing about it? Most people, not so much. So it's so important for us to come in person and to connect with each other so we can hear solutions, so we can see where are we going to go from here. In our native communities, we are taught to think in terms of seven generations, the principle of seven generations. Not only about what we're going to do now and how are the steps that I'm taking today on the planet going to affect my brothers and sisters living today, my kids in the future, but seven generations and beyond, right? So think about that for a moment. Think about the seven generations that have come before you. You know, I've only met my great-grandparents. Most of us, we don't meet much beyond that. But all of our ancestors, no matter where you come from on this planet, no matter how old you are, what your background is, all of your ancestors had to struggle and go through some strife to get you here today, right? I feel like I carry the strength of my ancestors with me. And whenever I need help, I call on them, right? But I also think about seven generations going forward. I have, if I have any kids, right now I have six nieces and nephews that I'm fighting for. They might live to have their own kids, and then their kids, and great-great-grandkids and on that I will never meet. But those people who we will never meet, the unborn, those who have yet to even be, you know, brought into this world, or even the process hasn't even begun for them, they are 100% counting on us. Do you understand that? Like, take that in for a moment. Let's all just breathe on that for a moment. Everything that we do or do not do is going to affect the lives of the coming generations. They're waiting for us to step up. So we got to remember that. I want you to think about that. What steps are we taking that will empower the coming generations? And what steps are we taking that will disempower and hurt the coming generations? Every single day, we're taking those steps, whether we realize it or not. So I'm just calling this How to Opt Out in a Time of Engineered Pandemics, Climate Lockdowns, and Smart Cities. We could add to that 15-minute cities, which, by the way, a couple of weeks ago when the World Economic Forum met, they had a panel called 10-minute cities. So as Tia said, I wrote a book called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. I wrote this book in mid to late 2019 because as a journalist and an activist, but more on the journalist side of things, I've been focusing on digital surveillance tools for about a decade. I started doing my work in 2010 in Houston. I started an activist group. And then in 2012, I had a police officer leak me some information showing me that I was under surveillance, and that the activists I was working with were being surveyed. He literally sent me a screenshot of a projector like this with my face on it and cops sitting in a room talking about me. So that was a fun wake up, like, wow. Up at that point, I really hadn't done much locally other than confront local politicians and build community gardens, but I guess that was enough to get their attention. And that really began my adventure of, okay, if I'm under surveillance, I need to learn, like, what does that mean? What are the tools available to police? I started learning about this tool called, it's nicknamed Stingrays, also known as cell site simulators. Basically, it's a tool that most police departments have that can grab every single text message, picture, voice call, etc., from your phone. And they typically do it in a large area, so it's not very targeted. I started learning about that. I started learning about automatic license plate readers, about thermal heat detectors, about drones, and all this fun stuff. And so over the years, I've really been paying attention to the rise of surveillance technology, and specifically things like artificial intelligence, facial recognition cameras, which I think more and more people are paying attention to. But in 2019, I started to ask myself, how are we going to continue to be free and stay free as we move forward with this incoming total surveillance of our lives, right? And for those who don't know my work, I haven't used a bank since 2008. I've never had a relationship with the IRS, is the way I'll say that. And
thank you.
It's not easy or necessarily advisable, but we can talk about that later. So I've spent a lot of my time focused on being outside of the system, so to speak, and learning how to do so without being broke all the time. What I mean by that is they have created a system and apparatus around us which is already very difficult to operate outside of, and it's not even digital yet, right? So somebody like me who has no bank history, no tax history, I don't get paid through check stub, I get paid either through, you know, cash or crypto or some other form, it becomes difficult to operate within their world. I essentially can't get rented apartments most places because they're like, okay, well, show me all those things I just listed. Let me see your rental history. Well, I pay cash. You can call my former landlord if you like and talk to him. This is how it was becoming when I was living in the city in Houston. I was realizing it was becoming more and more difficult to operate in this kind of inside-outside way. And I say that to say that this is not an easy path, but for me, it's been 100% worth it. But I wanted to write this book to try to outline some steps to share my own experience, but also to outline some steps of how do you opt out with this rise of this surveillance state. I'm going to give a definition of technocracy just in case anybody isn't totally familiar, because the book, it's about this much, 5% history, talking about everything I just mentioned, facial recognition, artificial intelligence, the dangerous world we're going into, and a little bit on the history of technocracy for those who don't know it. But 90% of this book is solutions, because if you're going to pick up a book called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, I'm going to assume you already know why you need to opt out, right? So a little bit of talk on the problems, most of the talk on the solutions. Technocracy is a political philosophy that was very popular in the 1920s, 1930s, up till like the late 1940s in the United States and Canada. And like things like democracy meaning, you know, vote of the people. I think that's a rigged game too, but that's the best ideal version. Monarchy being a rule by a monarch or a king. Well, technocracy is ruled by the technocrats, which are the experts, either the technologists who understand how to run the machines. And this was back in the 1920s. They didn't have computers yet in terms of we understand them, but they could. They already saw technology was going to play a major role. And there were these thinkers that thought the way out of the Great Depression and the way forward would be to just get the experts and the technologists to run society. There'd be no place for politicians or business people or anything like that. It would be essentially the experts managing and micromanaging all of our lives and dictating, okay, this is how much food should go over here and this resource is here. And they promoted that it would be a utopia. It would be the best run system we've ever seen. There'd be abundance and no poverty and all that fun stuff. But of course, like true utopians, they also felt like this would mean giving up rights. This would mean giving up choices, individual choices, a lot of things that we love and care about, like deciding what you can eat or whether you can drive. So much of what we're seeing today comes from this philosophy. So even if you've never heard of it, and if you go look up on Wikipedia, for example, they would say it disappeared and became irrelevant in the 1940s and 50s. This is the philosophy that is guiding the predator class. They are 100% technocrats. People like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and hate to break it to some of you, but even Elon Musk. These are the technocrats. These are the people that are not in government. They're unelected, but they have enough wealth and influence to geoengineer the skies, to interfere with the food supply, to buy up the land. This is a complete technocratic philosophy. So along with this world of technocracy comes all-pervasive digital surveillance. In order to run this world, the Great Reset, et cetera, you need cameras everywhere. You need digital devices, all the fun stuff you guys know about. So if we know that's coming, then how are we going to stay free, right? If we can see that there are more than 40 countries around the world now who are planning central bank digital currencies in the next 2 years and others in the years to come after that, then we have choices to make, right? We can be aware of what's going on, but choose to do nothing. Have you guys come to that conclusion, right? Being awake is not enough. You can be awake and still be taken away to the FEMA camp because you didn't do anything about it. You can be awake and watch 100 hours of documentaries and read books and YouTube, etc., but not plant a single seed in your house and grow any food, right? So being awake is not enough. Being aware of the problems is not enough. We need to take action. And that's what this book is all about. What steps can we take? And for me, this is all about, as Tag was describing and pretty much everybody here was talking about, the counter economy, the parallel economy, the alternative economy. They have their own flights. They have their own food systems. They have their own testing systems. We need alternatives to all of that, right? Education, et cetera, everything, right? We need to start thinking in this holistic way. And I really love the way you put it, Tag, as far as what you were describing. Like everybody needs to take a risk assessment of their own situation. I call it a holistic self-assessment. And you can start to, and it's on multiple levels. I would say it applies emotionally as well, because anybody else here become aware this is a spiritual battle we're facing, right? So there's all sorts of things we need to do in the physical realm, but we need to be right in here as well, and with your creator, whatever that means to you. So we have to think about, and Susan was talking about this, if we're going to be awake and we know we don't want their system, we don't want you'll own nothing and be happy. That's not what you guys are here for, right? That's the other room across the hall. You're in the wrong room if that's. So if we don't want you alone nothing to be happy, if we know we want an alternative, we need to know what is the alternative, right? And if we plan to bring our friends and family, because how many of you here have family who think you're nuts? I guarantee you, in the future, they're going to come to you for help. You are the crazy uncle, weird friend, etc. And when shit gets real and they finally wake up, they will think of you, which is, I think, another reason not to turn our backs on them just because they got a shot or something like that. I've seen a lot of that. They're going to need us. And so we have to, those of us who have the foresight and for whatever reason have, maybe we didn't watch enough TV or drink enough fluoride. I don't know what it is, but we're in the position we are, right? So we get to charge ahead and lay the groundwork and be examples for each other. And each of us get to inspire each other. That's what is happening right now. We're in the beginning. None of us know where it's going, but it's amazing that we're a part of it. You guys feel that? Like we're a part of something, and not just us. Guys, I mean, I've done, in the last 2 years, I did a tour of US, the tour of Mexico. There's people all across this country, all across Mexico, who are fighting just like us and looking for solutions. You know, each of these people here are reaching people around the world in different ways. There are people just like you that you will probably never meet, speaking different languages from different backgrounds, different skin colors, who are fighting just like us. Take not just hope, but strength in that. We're not alone in any means at all. But we have to build the next stage if there's going to be something to go to, right? If we know we don't want this, what's coming afterwards? And that's also Tag mentioned too. You have to know what you're going for. You have to understand what you're aiming for. So in the book, I talk about the alternative philosophy. It's called agorism. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I encourage you to check it out. I did mention as well, the book is downloadable for free, theconsciousresistance.com/how-to. Since we're flying, I had very little space to bring copies, but you can download it for free and order it wherever you like. And I also, the reason there's two books on here, the book on the left is the original version. I wrote this 2019. I published it January 30th, 2020, right before COVID. And it's become my most popular book because it was relevant to everything we're dealing. I just released about a month ago, the updated post-COVID edition, which has 5 new chapters based on everything we've learned the last 3 years. Now it's talking about what are we going to do when the climate lockdowns come. Again, now we've seen their hands. What are we going to do next time the vaccine passports come, or it's the carbon passport, or any of these stuff, right? We know their game now. To do nothing would be idiocy. To see their hand and to not act, we're failing those coming generations to do nothing, right? So we see what's going on. We understand. We're not ignorant. We've moved out of ignorance now to knowledge. Now we have to take action. So agorism and counter-economics is all, the most simple thing is just, if you see the government or somebody doing something that you don't like, create an alternative. That's like the most basic way I can explain it to you. There's a lot more to it, but most of you have been doing it. Anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand necessarily, but people used PCR tests. People got fake vaccine cards, all kinds of things. I'm not here to judge why or whether you made that the right choice or not, but the point was, people who needed to work to survive, people who needed to travel to see family. We had people, hey, can you help me get a PCR test? Can you help me find a way to get a fake vaccine card? Things like that. That's the counter economy. You see something that you don't like, get outside of that system. But COVID was just the beginning. Now we're starting to recognize we need to lay the foundation to whatever's coming, right? So agorism and building the counter economy is all about that, getting your money out of the banks, building alternative food systems, building alternative education systems. Every area that they are trying to control us, we build an alternative. And it comes from this man named Samuel Konkin III. He was an activist in the 60s and 70s, and he was not a political person. He was also not a violent person. He thought that, like I think most of us, that violent insurrection, forcing your way on people essentially, was wrong, immoral, and impractical. And that voting wasn't going to lead to change either. So if you throw out voting and politics and you throw out violence, most people would say all we got left is apathy. Just sit at home and complain, right? There's nothing to do. Konkin wanted to give the people a different tool. And so he came up with this idea of building the counter economy. And he didn't just pull this out of his head, though. He studied the collapse of the Soviet Union. He studied Peru in the 1970s and many other countries and saw that every time the government gets oppressive, a counter economy is created. The underground economy, the black market, gray market, right? And so his idea was, well, what if we consciously create that? What if we don't just react? Oh, no, they're doing something. Let's run over here. But we consciously focus our energy on building that alternative. Now, unfortunately, he died in 2004. And that, to me, honestly, is like a testament to staying healthy. He died of a heart attack at 50 years old. I was told, I'm writing a biography about him. I was told by some of his friends he was known for making a cheeseburger called the heart attack burger. And what really sucks about that is, I mean, 50 years old, he would be alive right now here with us, watching the ideas that he predicted take place in the world. And I think that's really disturbing. So take care of yourself. So the book is a little bit of history of Konkin's ideas, but it's more specifically, how do these ideas apply today with everything we're dealing with? So I'll leave you guys to check that out. The one thing I want to mention from the book as well, though, you've heard of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals? For those who don't know, starting back in the 90s and up until the 2000s, the United Nations held a conference where they started this idea. They used to call them the Millennial Development Goals. They've been through a lot of phases. The point is they brought the world together to say climate change is the biggest threat we're facing. We need a set of goals to get businesses and companies and individuals and countries to say, hey, we support the SDGs. We're going to take these steps. It's 17 different goals that they claim will make the world a better place. And they include things like digital IDs for everybody around the world, because they want you to think digital ID is a human right now. Now think about this for a moment. So I live between Texas and Mexico, and in Mexico, a lot of people already exist in the counter economy, the underground economy, because cash is still king in Mexico and parts of Asia and Central America and other places of the world. People, that's just normal thing for people to do. They don't pay taxes. They're outside of the system. Just by, you know, not because they have political beliefs about it. That's just what they do. So the ADGs. Okay. So they want you to believe, though, that getting a digital ID and getting a digital ID for every single person in the world is the answer to helping the poor people in Africa, helping the poor Mexican farmers. If we just get them a bank account and a digital ID, then they'll be real people. What is the thinking behind this? They want people to believe that you're not a person until you have their system, until you're a part of that system. Where we're saying, and agorism is the opposite, it's saying their strength outside of their systems. So we've been doing a lot of work to encourage people to stay out of the system. Don't get into the system. Bill Gates and others are going to places like Africa, and they're convincing African nations, like they already did in India, to scan the iris or the face of all their people to get them into a digital ID system that they promise will make their lives better. You can look up the Indian system. It's called Aadhaar, which means the foundation. They went to every single Indian city and Indian village over a number of years and scanned the eyes of every single Indian citizen, over a billion people. And they're a part of that system. You can't get bank accounts and social welfare, things like that. None of that without this thing. And people have literally died waiting to get money from this Aadhaar system because, oh, there was a glitch today. Sorry. There's some articles out there, some really interesting work, even in the mainstream, calling out the dangers of this system. Of course, they don't make the connection from where we're going. And then you got people like Bill Gates touting these systems as victories. This is great for the people. You know, we're helping these poor farmers. But all it's doing is trying to bring us into this technocratic state, right? So that's part of the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. In my book, I introduced this idea for what I call the agorist or autonomous development goals. And I want to encourage you to download the book or check it out. It's just a list of 10 goals that I put out. This is by no means meant to be like the end version of it. What I would really like is for there to be some co-creation. I would like people who feel aligned or inspired by the idea to co-create this with me. What I envision is an alternative to the SDGs, where businesses and individuals and entrepreneurs could put a little stamp on their website just the same way the UN does and say, we support the ADGs, the Autonomous Development Goals. Like, for example, trying to ensure that all people have access to education of their choice, homeschooling, unschooling, etc. Making sure that all people have access to non-GMO organic food. Not through the government, but just encouraging these things on a voluntary local level around the world. Now think about this. If each of us as individuals, as business people, as activists came together and started promoting our own goals, right? And to compete with that system directly, that's always the way I think. Okay, they got the SDGs, we can do it better. Let's create goals that are focused on individual liberty, autonomy, bodily autonomy, and sovereignty, right? That's what the Autonomous Development Goals are about, and I encourage you guys to check that out. And I want more people to take that up. We're planning eventually to, in the this year probably, to launch that into a website just like the Sustainable Development Goals. There will be the ADGs website that lists our goals. It'll give people ways to get involved and to mark their progress on their local level. I think that's how specific and practical we need to be. These people spend trillions of dollars. They're working night and day. They just had the World Economic Forum meeting a couple weeks ago. Then they had the climate summit. They're having their meetings. They're getting organized. We have been sort of reactive for a long time as movements. It's time for us to move into that active, proactive phase. Does that make sense, guys? You with me? So that's the ADGs. One of the other projects that I'm involved in, which is also, again, a direct way to counter these what these people are doing, is the Greater Reset Activation. You can find this at thegreaterreset.org. The reason I'm mentioning this is not to promote the event, but because, as it says here, we need to focus our attention on manifesting, creating the 2030 we want for future generations. And just like TIA has brought together solutions-focused speakers, we host this event once a year at the exact same time as the World Economic Forum meets. So you can tune into them if you want to obsess over Klaus Schwab, or you can tune into 5 days of solutions on food and local growing, getting off big tech, taking care of your family, building community. And I'm proud to say that right now, so we just wrapped up our fourth event, the Greater Reset for Co-Creation. It was amazing. We do this live in Texas and in Mexico. We had hundreds of people in both locations. I know in Mexico we had at least 15 different countries represented. Again, people just like us from all around the world who are doing the same things. I heard from so many beautiful stories. I'm from Belgium and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And It's wonderful to see. But if you go to thegreaterreset.org or our Odyssey channel, if you just search The Greater Reset, you're going to find over 150 hours of free content. Every single talk that we've done over the last 3 years, we've done 4 Greater Resets, 5 days each event, different themes. All of them are 100% for free. You can find the Greater Reset Activation channel on Spotify. Listen to all these talks. Again, our themes are Take Back Our Tech, so how to get off big tech, permaculture and food production, building free and conscious communities, parallel networks, and day one, liberate your mind, body, and soul. So spiritual, we try to bring it all in there. Please use this archive. Be inspired. Take the ideas. Use them. Implement them. Take your own ideas, bring them to us, come speak on the stage next year. Please, we need to collaborate with this. That's the only reason I'm putting time and money and energy into this. It's not necessarily because I had dreams of putting on a festival in Mexico. It's because this is what matters. This is the only thing I can think of is like, okay, they want to have their event. I don't want to just obsess over Klaus Schwab every year in January. I want to bring people together from all around the world and focus on what we're doing, because that's what matters more than what they're up to. So check out thegreaterreset.org. And the Greater Reset Activation is a project of the Freedom Cell Network. And you can find us at freedomcells.org. I'm really glad that Tag and I are getting connected because we're both doing similar things in terms of his freesteading project. And I know that there's going to be some really great fruit to come in the coming weeks. We're going to talk about ways that the freesteading community and the Freedom Cell Network can collaborate. So Freedom Cells, you see that number? 37,929 people have joined this website from around the world in the last couple of years. I started talking about this in 2015. The idea of a freedom cell is a local decentralized group. We talk about groups of 7 to 10, 8 ideally, but it's not like, oh, I can only work when I have 8 people, or we have too many people, we can't do anything. But there's some research about group dynamics, and 8 seems to be an ideal number for small group sizes, but also to collaborate and create bigger groups. So we came up with this idea of, what if people start focusing on local decentralized groups? So you get one in Atlanta, maybe there's just one group at first, and then it grows, and then you got East Atlanta and West Atlanta, and those groups start focusing on, what is our why? What are we trying to do? What does our 2030 look like? Hey, I have kids. Let's focus on homeschooling, peaceful parenting. I want to talk about food, right? So you get your goals together and your group starts meeting. You start setting practical goals and doing things. The website is simply a place for you to find the people. The website, once you sign up for free, you can create a free profile. We have things like roles, so you can put on there, like if you have land and you're looking for other people, you can add that to your profile. So when people search and find you, right away they can see, okay, this is a permaculture person, they've got land and they're looking for more people. Or you can put, I'm ready to meet in person, I'm looking for land, etc. So there's different categories and ways you can tag yourself so people can find you easier. The key feature, though, is the maps. You can go on there, we have cell maps, which is just a list of all the groups around the world, and the members maps. So say you wanted to search this area or wherever you're from, you could set it for show me everybody in 10 miles who has land or who is interested in permaculture, things like that. And the map will populate and show you those people. You click on their profile, look at what they're about. Okay, they seem like-minded. Let me message them. Would you like to go out for coffee and get to know each other? Or maybe you find out there's already an active group in your area. They have a meeting come up. Let me go check them out. Let me go get involved and see what I can contribute. Or another experience you might have that some people have, you go search and there's nobody there. That's when it's time for you to create the Freedom Cell in your area. I've had people complain or say, well, I joined Freedom Cells and there's nobody there. That website doesn't work. It's like, well, we nominate you. This is a movement of doers, not people wait. Look, and I'm not saying you have to be extroverted and come speak up on the stage, but it's a very minimal investment to create an online group and to put an email for somebody to find you. If you can't be bothered to do that much, maybe you don't really want to be free. Maybe you're not really looking for community. Maybe you're okay not being with like-minded people. You know, we have to ask ourselves that when we find that resistance of like, no, somebody else will do it. Because that's what happens, right? There's probably a dozen people in that same area searching and none of them see anybody, so they don't do anything. But they're just waiting for one person to create the group so then they can come join it. And that's fine. We don't all have to necessarily be leaders, but at this important time in history, we need everybody to step up in whatever ways you can. So if you search the maps on there and you don't see anybody there, create the cell for your area. Also, a lot of people obviously are using Telegram. So on Telegram, we also have a Telegram directory of cells all over the world. And this isn't like a thing where we're creating these groups. People have just been inspired by the idea and taken upon their own. And so there are now groups in, I would say, over 100 countries. And maybe not all as active as some places. Some places are super active. When Miriam and I were on tour, we met people who said, when COVID happened, I didn't know anybody in my area. I didn't have any friends, any family. And then I went to the Freedom Cell website and I found people. Now we're growing food together. Now we're homeschooling our kids. Now we pulled our money out of the banks. They took real world steps. That's what happens if you actually are motivated and make use of the tool. But ultimately, it's just a tool. It's just a tool to find people in your area. Then leave the website behind. Get active in your area. Start building. And you can become a part of that, the movement that we're building here. And it really isn't, again, the reason I say I want to work with TAG and anybody else is because it doesn't have to be the Freedom Cell Network. Use what you need to find people. Get active. Get involved. Call it, you know, people don't call their groups all the Houston Freedom Cells. Some people call them hubs, hives, circles, pods. We don't care. If you're doing something, then you're going in the right direction. All right. So this is just an example. You can see the cell map and you can find people there. We also have an Agora on here where you can list your services, your products, your goods. We even have dating ads for people looking for unvaccinated partners. Things like that was actually one of our most requested things when we were rebuilding the website. So like, all right, let's do it. So one other thing I want to mention, because I'm a little low on time here, is I mentioned the Greater Reset. Go there, get inspired, watch solutions, join the Freedom Cell Network. Another thing that I'm working on, because this isn't just a talking thing, this is a doing. Just like TAG and everybody here is taking concrete steps, these people are here because we want to highlight the beautiful work they're doing and inspire you to do the same. So I'm working on intentional community myself. I've been writing about this idea since 2016 in one of my books. It's called The Conscious Agora. And my partner Miriam and I, we've been working for the last 3 years. This community is going to be in Mexico. We've already identified the land. We've got a small group of founding family that we're starting with, and we plan to add more people later down the line. And this is a community based on individual liberty, permaculture principles, and mindfulness, which broadly speaking just means we want to work with other people who have emotional intelligence, who aren't static, and who want to keep growing as people, right? So this is our effort to lead by example, and the idea is not just one Conscious Agora in Mexico, but to be a network of united communities, including, you know, what you're doing elsewhere, that we know these communities, they all look different, but they're united by common principles. And so we start to build, again, that parallel network. And that's when we can start to trade goods. And maybe there's growing something amazing up here that we can't grow in Mexico and vice versa. We start to create our own alternative trade routes and exchange networks. I mean, that's the big picture of where we're going. I mean, for me, I'm trying to create a complete alternative system to what these people are doing in my lifetime. And it's a big vision, and none of us know what it's going to look like. But I know there's so many other people who are also working on that. I know we're going to get there together. We're also building an education center. We call it the Holistic Education Center. So there'll be a village that we live there on the property. But the bigger idea, I'm a permaculture certified teacher as well as Miriam. We're going to be hosting permaculture courses there. We're connected to such a huge network, including people like Jim Gale, many other permaculture teachers and people who know self-defense from spirituality to finance to so many different things. We want this to be like an activation center, essentially. People can come here, get downloads, training on what we've done. We plan to release ebook versions and video versions of everything we've done for free, showing people from the very first step how we came up with our conflict resolution process, our decision-making process, our entry and exit agreements. There's a lot of work that goes into building a community, and I know so many of us are wanting to move in that direction, but you need to know what that word even means to you in the first place, right? When we say community, right now, we're a community, right? Online, there's a truth community, things like that, but maybe some people, community means living in the same house. Some people, it means just living near someone else or in the same neighborhood. Others want to be on the same property but still have their own plot, their own homes. That's what we're aiming for. We're trying to balance individuality and the benefits of community. So get to understand what that means to you. We're going to be off-grid. This land already has 2 fresh springs, banana trees, avocado trees, pear, lime, pomegranate, so many other beautiful things waiting for us to come take care of it. And the vision, though, is to make this a model that can be replicated anywhere in the world. So that, again, there's a network of Conscious Agoras. And the other thing I want to mention, though, is right. So we have our own investment from everybody in the community. We're also doing a little bit of crowdfunding investment round. And we're working on a partnership with this project called CultDAO. Anybody who knows what a decentralized autonomous organization is, I don't have time to elaborate on it. But it's essentially a new tool. It's part of the crypto space. So for those of you who are unaware or afraid, I encourage you to learn more about it. Because tools like decentralized autonomous organizations are going to eliminate banks and are going to eliminate governments in the long term. They will make it where we don't need their systems. And so groups like CultDAO created their project to fund decentralization and to fund revolutionary projects. So we're going to be partnering with them to get funding to help build this. And that is going to be done through their cryptocurrency, through their token. Again, that's a positive use case. They created this token. They created this project. They're going to be able to fund what we're doing. So if you have fears of that, I encourage you to think about that, because there are positive use cases. There's also scammers and all that stuff too, but there's good potentials for this. Before I wrap up, can we play that video real quick? I had a video that I wanted to play about the Conscious Agora. This will be my last couple minutes and then I'll say goodbye. But I wanted to show you guys a little bit of the community and what we're doing. Hey everyone, my name is Derek Brose. For the last 13 years, I've been an activist and a journalist, and I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking for community, trying to understand how to create a better world. And I've done so many different things to try to do this. I've done protests and rallies and marches. I even ran for mayor, thinking that maybe this was the way to create the world that I want. And over the years, I've come to see that it's not really going to lead to the change I want, that if I want to see change in the world, I need to be that change. I need to create it myself and live it and embody it. And so in 2016, I started thinking about this idea of creating an eco-village called the Conscious Agora. It would be built around the ideas of individual liberty, permaculture, and mindfulness, trying to create a better world, be better people, continually evolving as people all around. And I've been working on this idea for the last few years, but it wasn't till 2020, when my partner Miriam and I moved to Mexico, that this project really took on its next phase.
Hola, my name is Miriam, and my desire to live in harmony with all life has led me to learn permaculture, to learn different healing modalities, and also organize community events like group meditations and yoga classes. Our decision to move to Mexico led us to Morelia, Michoacán, a beautiful mountainous region known for its vast bodies of water and its rich soils. This right here is where we found the land and future home of the Conscious Agora, filled with hills and springs and mountain water and delicious fruit trees. We fell in love. We looked for beautiful people who shared a similar vision. And for the last 2 years, we have been working together to strengthen that bond, that relationship. And now, these are the founding members of the Conscious Agora.
Hi, my name is Jess. Leading sea kayaking trips on the west coast of Canada gave me the opportunity to share my love for the wild and outdoor spaces and reconnect with nature. Now I'm excited to be part of this project, the Conscious Agora, that together with your help, will live as an example of what's possible when we live in a holistic and symbiotic connection with the natural world and each other.
Hi, my name's Ethan, and I am super stoked to be a part of this project. We've got a beautiful piece of land here in mind. It's phenomenal. For the last like 10, 12 years of my life, I've really been longing to be a participant in something like this that's focused on individual autonomy within community, as well as earth restoration and regenerative agricultural practices, permaculture, and all that kind of stuff. I've been into it for a number of years now, and I've been following Derek's work for about 5 years now, starting in 2018. When he put out the invite to participate in this, I was super excited. I was like, man, I gotta get involved in that. So here I am, they welcomed me into the project. The vision that Derek and Miriam have outlined of building somewhat of a template or model for other communities to emulate and build from, that's very unique. There's nobody out there that I'm aware of doing this. So with your help, we can make that possible.
With your financial support, the Conscious Agora team will be able to complete the purchase of our land. From there, we will build the Holistic Education Center, which will be our home for teaching permaculture skills, natural building, self-defense, meditation, and other practical skills that you can use to empower yourself. Our long-term goal is to take all of the knowledge we gain and all of the information we have and share it with you, so you can create your own Conscious Agora where you live. Together, we can create a network of free communities focused on building a better world for coming generations.
Thank you for your support.
Because of you, the Conscious Agora is becoming a reality.
Thank you, guys. So I'm just about out of time. I just want to mention that if you want to find out more about the Conscious Agora project, we just got our website out, theconsciousagora.com. And I mentioned that in case anybody's interested in, you know, vesting in some way, but also more specifically to say, don't just come to these events and listen. Start taking these steps. I mean, that's the beautiful thing, this idea of next steps. Like, people are giving you concrete things that you can go home with. I see you writing things down. That's the beautiful part. But one thing I've noticed about events I've spoke at over the years is the momentum can die down after the weekend, right? You come here, you have a good time, get all pumped up and meet people. You got a lot of notepads and ideas written down. And then maybe you set it down when you get home and you don't look at it again for a couple of months. Don't let that happen. Don't let the momentum, what we call the activation, die down. Remember that we are fighting for the coming generations and we have the strength of our ancestors with us. We're totally capable of doing this. If I can get my last slide up, I just want to show you guys my websites if you want to follow my work. My main website's theconsciousresistance.com. That's where you can find all of my documentaries, my books, podcasts, etc. Freedomcells.org, the Freedom Cells website, theconsciousagora.com, thepyramidofpower.net. If you're interested in my journalism, I have a 17-part documentary series that can help wake your friends up, and it also has solutions. And this week, I filed paperwork to run for mayor of Houston again. You can find out about that. We literally just filed on Monday morning. If you have anybody in Houston who you think might want to hear a message, because everything I just said to you, I'm going to be saying on TV in Houston for the next 6 months as much as possible. So check that out at DerekBros.com. Guys, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your time.